Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
News of breakthroughs in cancer treatment are always received with excitement. And over the past few years, the buzz has increasingly been growing around a field called immunotherapy. It's a treatment that essentially harnesses a patient's own immune system to fight cancer. And there have been some remarkable case studies. Patients, in some cases, have been essentially cured, with x-rays and scans unable to pick up a trace of the cancer after treatment. Tonight we've invited Associate Professor Nick Huntington, Molecular Immunology Laboratory Head at the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute, onto the program to tell us about how immunotherapy works. Nick, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you for having me, Phil.
We should temper excitement by saying that a complete cure is still very much the exception rather than the norm for patients treated with immunotherapy. But what are the success rates like?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. The high success rates are up towards 50% with some of these combinational immunotherapies. That's a combination of maybe two different immunotherapy drugs, but it is very much dependent on the cancer type, with melanoma having a really high success rate, up, as I said, around 50%, but some other cancers would be significantly lower than that.
Explain to us how it works. What is immunotherapy anyway?
Okay, well, you touched on it briefly in the introduction. It's really therapies that are aimed at boosting your body's natural sort of immune response to cancer. And cancer, as it evolves, it mutates and the cancer cells look a little bit different. The immune system can detect that. They can detect these cancer cells being not quite normal, and they'll try to attack it and kill the cancer. Now, the cancers are smart. They evolve ways to shut down the immune system, and some of these therapies really prevent the cancer from shutting down the immune response, so enabling the immune response to be stronger.
Yeah, okay. So you said that there are some specific cancers which respond better than others. Why is that?
The thought process around it at the moment is cancers that might have higher mutation rates generate more antigens. And antigens, for the purpose of this conversation, can just be little changes in proteins that are not quite normal, and they're detected by the immune system. So cancers that are highly mutated, such as melanoma, tend to do better, respond better, because there's a greater chance the immune system can detect it and see it as being foreign.
Okay, so it works in a sense by boosting up the immune system. Is that a fair way to say it?
It works on both fronts. There's different types of cancers that immunotherapies that will try to shut down the way that the cancer suppresses the immune system, and there are other therapies that would directly target the immune system to make it fitter, stronger, more capable of doing its job.
We often think of cancer as, maybe the popular view of cancer is that it's one thing, but it's not, is it? That's the trouble with the whole thing. It's just devilishly complicated, isn't it? And devilishly complex, and not all cancers are different. Talk to us about those differences.
Yeah, that's not a sort of one size fits all when it comes to cancer.
Not like the flu virus.
This changes from year to year as well, the virus, but at least there's a vaccine that would be applied to it to all the virus, whereas cancer now has gone from being treated with a surgery or a chemotherapy now to having hundreds of different drug combinations that could be essentially trialed. And it's really a personal thing. You can have your cancer analyzed at the genomic level, at the gene level, and know that it will respond better to one type of therapy than another therapy. So we've got we're at a situation now almost where we have this personalized medicine approach to treating cancer.
Okay.
It's really unique to the individual's cancer.
Yeah. So is it accurate to say then that what, like, one person's cancer is their own, that it's not? I mean, if two people have got melanoma, is it the same disease?
No, it's very, very much not the same disease, as they're highly different in types of mutations. There's two types of melanoma we talk about. There's some that have this driving mutation, which is a BRAF mutation, and that can be treated with a kinase inhibitor. Mm-hmm. And there's ones that are not expressing this mutant protein, which are typically then treated with immunotherapies. But no two cancers in individuals are the same.
Mm. Yes, which gives you some idea of just how difficult it is, you know, to treat these cases. When would you introduce immunotherapy? Does it work on early stage cancer, or can it also be effective on late stage cancers?
Yeah, I think that's what got most people excited about the immunotherapy, and it really, to be honest, it really has revolutionised the way we treat cancer. So the reason that there's this excitement was that they were treating quite advanced stage melanoma patients. These are patients with stage 3 melanomas that have metastases in the liver or the lungs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's typically quite a poor outcome for these patients. But when they started the immunotherapy trials, there was just the tumours were shrinking and disappearing, and this very rapid and durable response is why there's so much industry excitement and also investment. And there's currently over 2,000 clinical trials now across 20 different cancer types, trying to get an understanding of which patients will respond better. And as you mentioned earlier, it's not. No two patients will respond the same. Therefore, we do need, hundreds and hundreds of patients in each type of trial to get an idea of what are the likelihoods of you responding to this type of therapy.
Mm. We're not talking about a magic drug here, are we? We're talking about a whole range of drugs, are we? I mean, are these new drugs or are they drugs that we've known about?
Yeah, these are relatively new. These drugs that I think that most people are familiar with, they're called immune checkpoint inhibitors, but these are antibodies which sort of get in between the tumor cell and the immune system and sort of stop the tumor cell from shutting down the immune system. These are been in trials for almost 10 years now, so we're getting some really good 10-year follow-up data on survival in melanoma, for example, but there's good indications in kidney cancer, so renal cell carcinoma as well. So it works. It does work on late stages, as you said, but it the earlier you detect a cancer and start treating it, the better. It also is going to benefit people that are more healthy as well, because there are some side effects as well, these immune-related adverse events, which stronger, fitter, healthier young people would do better than the elderly, for example.
What sort of side effects are we talking about?
Well, this is where you're basically trying to make your immune system stronger. Mm. And that, a consequence of that is your immune system can become quite activated and start to attack normal tissue as well. So it's not just attacking the cancer tissue, but it can attack normal tissue. And this can cause a lot of sort of gastrointestinal and trouble. You can have some liver inflammation that drives a lot of disease within the liver. It's almost autoimmune type of diseases in these tissues. And some people will tolerate them and continue on the drugs, and other people won't be able to tolerate them, and the treatments or the trials will be stopped.
Mm. Do you do this alongside other treatments, other chemotherapy or radiation treatments?
Yep, and this is encompassed in some of those 2,000 clinical trials that are ongoing now. I think the easiest way to tell whether a drug's effective or not is really sort of compare it to the standard of care at the time. And if the standard of care at the time might be a chemotherapy, then what you would do is test the immunotherapy alongside it as a comparison. Now, when that shows a benefit as a single therapy, as a monotherapy, the next step is to, improve its response. And that's when you can come into ideas about using a radiation plus chemotherapy plus immunotherapy, or combinations of different types of therapies, and that's going on now in trials.
Mm. So the drugs stimulate the immune system essentially and get the body to work its own magic. Does the immune system then remember what it's done, and therefore the chances of recurrence are low?
In cases, that's exactly right. I mean, the immune system has this memory compartment built into it, memory component, and the same way that we get vaccinated to make memory and long-term protective immunity to viral infections, you can also make a memory response, in theory, to these cancer antigens, and that would be ideal. And I think, at the moment we've only got this short-term data, and we haven't really looked at at follows up and sort of relapse rates, and whether those patients have made a memory response or not in some relapse cases. So it's a possibility, and something that the therapies would, future therapies will be targeted towards, is to try to generate this memory response to the cancer.
I'm talking with Associate Professor Nick Huntington, who's the head of the Molecular Immunology Laboratory at the Walter and Eliza Hall Institute, about this fascinating and very interesting new field called immunotherapy, which is holding out, in the view of researchers, some very great hopes in the management and treatment of quite a number of cancers. It involves drug therapy, which stimulates the body's immune system to fight the cancer itself. Cancers, of course, are unique to individuals rather than being common across individuals. And therefore, Nick, the drug therapy that you give somebody, it's not a standard tablet. It has to be tailored to them, does it?
So at the moment, the types of therapies we're talking about are antibodies that are given, you know, via injection from the from your oncologist or your clinician. Mm-hmm. So these are very they're very broad against. They work on all of the different cancers. They're being trialed in all the different cancers, so they're not personalized in any way. But where we get towards these personalized immunotherapies is. Some of these novel therapies that are now called adoptive cell therapies or chimeric antigen receptor T cell therapies. And that's a complicated name, but basically what's happening in the clinic, and it's been FDA approved, so approved by the regulatory agents in the US, for example, is taking your own blood cells out and genetically modifying them to make them respond to your cancer better. And that is a very personalized approach to immunotherapy. And the more we learn about the types of cancer antigens, the more types of these adoptive cell therapies that we can develop. And their response rates are actually very preliminary trials, but 90% of patients might respond to these types of CAR T cell or chimeric antigen receptor T cell therapies. And that's really exciting. And I think that will also revolutionize the immunotherapy field going forward.
Mm. I imagine because the way the drug system works, that these drugs are very expensive, are they?
The types of therapies we've been chatting about, antibodies, for example, would be around $110,000-$120,000 a year. But these adoptive cell therapies, where they take cells out of you and genetically modify them and put them back, that can be around $500,000 for a therapy.
Mm. Who picks that up?
At the moment, the individual would pick it up for most of the types of most of the types of cancers, because it's only really on the PBS, which is the public benefit scheme here in Australia. Mm. It's only covered on the PBS for a few indications of non-small cell lung cancer or melanoma. And there's always exceptions to the rule. You have to have failed traditional types of therapies to then access these drugs and be covered by the PBS. So at the moment, it's only a certain range of cancers and a certain number of drugs. Mm-hmm. But as more trials are done and the success rates increase, there more and more drugs will be added. And it does pose the question of, how does the government pick up the bill? Because it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars that the government will have to kick in to have these drugs on the PBS.
Yes, and that's right, exactly. We get back to these public policy questions again, I guess.
Yeah.
Still, if it works, and if it is a treatment for cancer, which has a significant success rate, you would think that people would be entitled to get access to it, because as it stands, unless you're wealthy at the moment, you can't.
Well, the greater benefit of having healthy people in the workforce far outweighs the cost of these the cost of these drugs to the government. So, but again, I can't make those types of calculations.
No, you're a researcher, not a health policy analyst. I agree. It's fascinating, Nick. It really is, and good to talk. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you very much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.